Hi, this is Cass. Welcome to the Curio Podcast, where two old friends hash out current events, politics, and whatever strikes our fancy. Visit us on Twitter at Podcast Curio. Join our Facebook page. Check out our website, curiopodcast.org. And don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for listening.
I'm staring down at my palms.
I see you brought a book, Kimmy.
I brought my book, my favorite spring book.
Well, let's get started. An Ode to Spring by Mary Robinson, 1775. No more shall winter's veil be spread, or clouds deform the tranquil sky. Again shall spring her treasure shed, to charm the sense and please the eye. To future ages shall the muses sing, Hail, genial goddess of the blooming spring.
I have a mouthful of spring cocktail that Cass made, which is really, really lovely.
Let me explain it to you.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I made simple syrup with that raw sugar, the demura or whatever it's called sugar.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. With sprigs of lavender and the zest of a blood orange. And let that steep for a good hour or more. And then I used gin, crushed ice, the simple syrup I'd made, put more blood oranges in there, and some soda water.
It's so good.
It's so light. It's not heavy. It doesn't even taste alcoholic.
It doesn't. And it's beautiful. It's this lovely pink color, pinky orange, like a peach, when a peach is just perfectly ripe.
What should we call it?
Well done, Cass.
We're calling it Well Done, Cass.
Well done, Cass. Kind of sounds like you're a steak.
Or sunburned.
Hi,
Kimmy. Hi,
Cass.
What are we talking about tonight?
Spring.
Spring.
Oh.
It's my favorite time of year. The sun comes back. The sun comes back, and the sun comes back, and the light comes back, and the sun comes back.
Yes.
Not that we don't have a lot of sun here in Southern California, but like it stays lighter longer, which makes my brain feel better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I notice it earlier, probably in February, like early February. I can start sniffing it out.
Yep.
And I always think it's interesting that the vernal equinox, which just marks the day that the sun is, you know, there's equal light and darkness.
Right.
Is the first day of spring, but I always think of it as earlier.
Oh.
And I'm not sure exactly when. It's like my body knows.
I feel like summer is that way, too. It always feels like summer before the solstice. Don't you think so?
Yeah.
Especially around here in Southern California, it starts feeling like summer in May, probably.
It's probably more... I think of the equinoxes and the solstices as the mid-time.
Yeah.
Rather than the beginning.
But on the calendar, it'll say first day of spring, first day of summer, first day of winter.
But that doesn't make sense to me.
Stupid calendar companies. What do they know?
I don't even believe them. I think they're lying. They make up things and put it on the calendar all the time.
We used to make up things and put it on the calendar. Remember when we lived together and we had little days that we would make up?
Oh my God, that's right. I forgot about that.
That was hysterical fun. We even gave ourselves days and everyone had to celebrate us. Do you remember those days?
Yes, I do. And they weren't birthdays.
No, it was just a random old whatever day.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
We were so creative back then. What happened to us?
I'm like, oh no! Our creativity is just morphed. It's curing.
It's curioing.
It's curioing.
It's curiating-oing.
Oh my God, this morning Chloe goes, she's noodling around the kitchen, getting something to eat, and she's in full Chloe mode. And she's going, bougainvillea, bougainvillea.
That is a great word to
bougainvillea.
Say.
Bougainvillea.
You say it differently than other people.
How?
You say Bougain.
Bougainvillea.
Bougain.
Bougain? Bougain?
You say Bougainvillea.
Bougain.
Bougain.
I can't help it. I say things weird.
I like it. I appreciate that.
Bougainvillea. And then she goes, I'm a casual chicken eater. And I'm just like, looking at my calendar, I'm like up, I'm all, excuse me? You eat casual chickens or you're...
You casually eat chickens? You have casual wear on whilst you eat chickens?
I'm a casual chicken.
You should be writing these all down.
I do.
So you brought a book.
I brought a book. This is, it's called The Spring Equinox by Ellen Jackson. It's a children's book.
I remember this book.
And it is one of my favorite books of all time. Mm-hmm. I read it in the classroom. I read it to my kids. I read it to your kids.
Read it to any kid
that would come close to me in the springtime.
Weirdo.
Yep, exactly. I read it to adults occasionally. Hey, Paul, you want to hear the story? you want to hear the story of Holy? So,
would you like to read it for us?
I brought a book. Yes, I would. There's one story. It's my favorite. This book has lots of different stories from around the world. There's Aztecs, Jewish traditions, Roman traditions, just all kinds of crazy stuff. But my favorite is the story of Ostara.
Yay!
A spring story. Easter may have been named for the Anglo-Saxon goddess of the dawn and springtime, Ostara. Not much is known about this goddess. One legend says that she was always accompanied by a magical hare who could lay eggs. The following story is adapted from a myth about this goddess. I think she was also a Celtic,
mm-hmm.
related to the Celts, and there's not a lot of stuff left about the Celts, so mm-hmm. we don't know a lot of.
Thanks, Catholics.
Fuck. Anyway. Long ago, when the world was young, Ostara, the goddess of spring, walked across the land. As she walked, green and growing things sprung from her footsteps. Ostara seated herself on a rock, and a group of children gathered around her. Ostara loved to make the children happy. She touched a rosebush, and it bloomed. Then she snapped her fingers. A cloud of butterflies appeared out of nowhere. The children laughed and clapped their hands. "Look, look," cried a boy. He pointed to something brown in the grass. There beside the child was a bird. Her wings had frozen in the last snowstorm of winter, and she was dying.
Oh, no!
Oh, cried the children. Oh, no!
Oh, no.
It is so sad. Can you help her? I will try, said Ostara. Ostara cupped the bird in her hands. When she opened them, the bird had turned into a healthy rabbit. The children jumped up and down for joy. But when the children looked at the rabbit, they saw that her face was full of sorrow. The rabbit knew she could no longer sing, she could no longer lay eggs, and she could no longer fly above the clouds to escape her enemies. She was afraid. Two big tears rolled down her furry face. "Change her back!" cried the children. "She doesn't want to be a rabbit. Let her be a bird again." "It cannot be undone," said Ostara. "That is the way of magic. But I will give the rabbit a gift. On the first day of spring each year, she will lay her eggs. She will bring them to all the children of the world, for it was the children who saved her." "What if a fox catches her?" asked a little girl. "She cannot fly." "No fox will catch her. She will sail across the sky. For most of the year, the rabbit will live on the moon and be happy and safe from her enemies." And so it was. Even today, if you look up at the sky, you may see the rabbit and the moon. And if you listen with the heart of a child, you will hear a faint, rabbity song wafted on the breeze from a far, far away place.
Yay!
A rabbity song.
This also sounds like the Chinese myth of the moon goddess. Doesn't she also have a rabbit?
Yeah.
That lives on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, humans. You and your funny traveling stories.
Right? I'd love to know how those two are similar and different.
Right.
To look into that a little bit more.
Interesting.
I think it's the story of Kuan Yin.
Kuan Yin, yeah.
Yeah. So she stole the... Her husband was an evil, mean emperor, and he ended up with the elixir of immortality.
Yes.
And so she stole it from him. And she took it herself to save humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And to escape him, she turned herself into a rabbit and went to the moon. Interesting.
Maybe and when is that festival? Is that festival in spring?
I think it's in the fall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Weird. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I have a list of celebrations from around the world.
Woohoo!
You're hanging over the edge. Sicker than you planned. So please waste my time.
It's so delicate. I feel like I should be wearing a hat and a dress.
It does feel like something you'd eat, you'd get at brunch after you've been at the spa.
Yeah.
Right?
Or like at the Huntington or some fancy place.
Like a tea, high tea, but you've had a massage. Like, I want, in this fantasy, I want to feel relaxed.
Oh, okay. You're like, I'm not walking anywhere. I'm not dodging bees, lizards. Look.
Oh. Okay. Forgive me if I mispronounce any of these things.
Some of them are hard to say.
Yes. I'm going to try my best. In Thailand, in Chiang Mai, is the Songkran Water Festival. Have you heard of this one?
Not till today.
I saw it for the first time on one of those travel shows on PBS. It's hilarious. They're not sure how it started originally. It is a religious ceremony where they go to temple and you're supposed to get blessed by the priest or whatever. And
is it a Buddhist thing?
Yeah, it has to do with like kind of like the Catholics with the holy water. Like the priest would throw water on you to say you're blessed for that day or whatever. It has since turned into a giant water fight.
Oh.
With super soakers. People in, like, just millions of people everywhere. In trucks, in the back of the truck bed, in buses, in the street, on motorcycles. Everybody with a water gun throwing water balloons.
Wow.
It's just a giant water fight.
Oh, how fun.
Doesn't that sound like fun?
Oh, my gosh.
So that's what their spring festival has turned into. And then, of course, Holi in northern India, where it culminates, you know, there's lots of food and blah, 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 but it culminates in a giant party throwing colored powders around.
We saw that once in Berkeley. That was when I first became aware of Holi, is we were coming back from a soccer game or something. And we drove through Berkeley near the campus.
Yeah.
And everybody was covered with all these different colors. And it was just amazing to see. Just everywhere. Everybody. And everyone was so happy. It was beautiful.
You can just imagine it.
It was really cool.
The article that I read did say that it has spread across the world because it is a fun and colorful and happy thing. So.
And people have spread across the world, too. It's
right.
One of the wonderful things about diversity is you're exposed to all these new, interesting and
fun
different
things. Yeah. Excuse me. In Central Asian, according to the Iranian calendar, their new year, which is called Nowruz, which translates to new day, starts with everyone cleaning their house. Then they have bonfires and costumes in family remembrance, which I'm guessing is a lot like Dia de los Muertos. The celebration lasts for 13 days, and on the last day, everyone leaves their houses. They go out into the streets. They go to parks, squares. Every single person is outside, and they listen to music, and they dance, and they eat with their friends, and it's all about being connected with your family and friends and your whole community. Everyone is outside celebrating.
Aww.
Isn't that great? I love that. This next one's hilarious. I saw a documentary on it recently. The Cooper's Hill Cheese Rolling Competition.
Oh, yeah. That's a...
Have you seen that? Holy shit.
Yes, I've seen it. Not in person.
No, not in person.
And I've heard stories about it. We had a friend who was Scottish and was like, well, yeah, doesn't everybody reach out to me? And I'm like, what?
The documentary I watched was by Rainn Wilson. It was like a We Are the Champions, I think it's called. And he is showcasing like different weird competitions throughout the year. So this is a competition, but it started out as a celebration of the beginning of, you know, being able to collect the milk and make the cheese and whatever.
Roll it down a hill.
Roll it down a hill. But the thing I watched was so fascinating because people train for this like it's an Olympic sport. And there's a lot of prestige involved in doing this race. And they have children's competitions that start just partway up the hill. And then they have men's and women's. And they have different, like, age groups and things like that. But
do they make the cheese themselves?
Yes, and, like... it's made there in the area. And your prize for winning is the wheel of cheese.
Wow.
And then you go and share it with your buddies. And drink beer.
A cheese and beer festival.
That sounds amazing, except for the falling down the hill part. But people break limbs, they get concussions, they dislocate their shoulders.
These are giant wheels of cheese, too.
They're not giant. They're pretty big. You know, like a maybe 18 by 18.
Oh, the one I saw was like person size.
Oh, no. The one that I'm thinking of in... Cooper's Hill, the cheese isn't that you could hold it.
Oh, okay.
It's not that big. Okay. The hill itself is extremely steep. It has holes in it and rocks. It's very dangerous.
It's like a course, like a obstacle course for cheese wheels.
Yeah, nothing's laid out though. The hill just is.
Okay. Okay.
And they have done it for as long as anyone can remember. Wow. Rolling the cheese down the hill.
Oh, there's so many things to witness in this world.
<I know. laughs> The next one, I know I'm not going to say it right. It's from Bosnia. It's called Simbarajada, which translates to the Festival of Scrambled Eggs. At the crack of dawn on, I think it's March 1st.
Pun intended.
Yep. At the crack of dawn, the town will gather near the river Bosna, and they share a meal of scrambled eggs.
Wow.
And that's how they welcome the spring. They eat together with free eggs. They all bring eggs. They make a giant batch of eggs. Everyone eats them at the crack of dawn.
Oh,
isn't that sweet?
Yes.
That one made me go, ooh. Okay, this one's a little demented, kind of. It's called Marzana from Poland. They think it started in the 16th century. Marzana means, well, it's what it is the drowning of the Marzana. A Marzana is a straw doll that's made to symbolize the cold and dreary winter that they just had.
Yeah.
So the town gets together and they parade this Marzana through the town, down to the river or the lake, whichever, and they drown the doll in the water to symbolize the end of winter's wrath.
Wow.
Yeah. They're serious. They're like, get the fuck out. And then they go eat and drink and have fun and listen to music.
Wow. That's interesting. That's a very aggressive celebration of spring.
I think so, too.
Huh. What do they do in the fall? Jeez. Whoa, bros.
I have three more, and I've been to one of them.
Ooh.
Not this next one. This one's called Whoopity Scurry.
Is this an Irish thing?
It's Scottish.
Okay.
In a town called Lanark, Scotland, the children run around. They make crumpled up balls on string, I guess. And so they run around the town with these balls of crumpled up paper swinging around their heads.
Hmm.
And at dusk on the 1st of March, they run laps around the town bell, which hasn't rung for 6 months during the winter months.
Oh.
At dusk on March 1st, the bell rings as the children are running around it with these crumpled up balls of paper.
What do they do with the balls of paper besides swing it around?
I don't know that.
Huh.
But the theory is that it was some sort of way of like warding off evil spirits or something. Like leave the bell alone until it can ring kind of thing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Maybe another pagan...
Yeah, I'm sure. Scotland, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the famous Japanese Cherry Blossom Festival, which I am dying to get to someday, which I guess they did virtually this year.
Aww.
And, you know, people will go every single day to wait for the first bloom.
I go out every single day looking for plum blossoms.
Aww.
There are two now. I try not to get too emotional around the tree because I'm afraid I'm going to spook it.
Yeah.
But I've been, you know,
kind you could of sing to it.
Encouraging it. And, yeah. Water.
And then this last festival I went to accidentally. My friend Kelly and I went to Spain. We went to Barcelona for a few days, and then we went to Valencia, Spain for like 3 days, and then we went back to Barcelona for another few days before we came home. And being me, I planned the trip like a year in advance. Everything was paid for like 9 months in advance. Hostels booked, everything booked, the ride from the airports booked, the train tickets booked. Like, I had everything set, ready to go in a folder. Bam. Unbeknownst to us, there's a festival in Valencia, Spain called Falas, F-A-L-L-A-S. We had no idea when we got there. We kept hearing fireworks, especially at one time during the day. And we had walked from the train station to our hostel. We got checked in. We start hearing these fireworks. And we had this amazing window that opened out onto a little square. And there's a bunch of people down there, and they're all wearing the same outfit. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? We go out, and we start walking around the town, and there are these giant paper mache sculptures built.
Oh, wow.
And, like, not amateur hour. Imagine, like... Right. Like the Rose Parade of paper mache floats.
Mm-hmm.
But they're more like statues that stay in one place. These statues, these paper mache statues, are filled with fireworks.
Oh, wow.
So we actually left before the last day of the festival. We were there during the middle of it. On the very last day of the festival, they light all of them on fire.
Oh my gosh.
So it sounds
dangerous. Yeah. Americans absolutely could not handle that.
No. We had stopped flinching at some point walking around Valencia because it was just, and not little firecrackers. I'm talking like giant, it sounded like bombs going off all day long.
Wow.
And especially at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it would just be this like 20 minutes of like just explosions. The banks were closed. School children were out of school.
Wow.
The other thing that happened that we didn't realize, the whole town was set up for a festival. Each area, which this reminded us of Mardi Gras, each neighborhood had its own guild. Each guild had its own statue.
Oh, interesting. Wow.
They had matching outfits. They would wander through the streets at any given time playing instruments and singing songs. And at nighttime, the first night we went out, there was a fucking gigantic party in the streets. Everyone's drunk. They're eating churros. There's chairs. We ended up following this, like, marching band. Like, drunk, following a marching band. I don't know that I've ever been accidentally that happy ever in my life. Do you know what I mean? Like, we weren't expecting that.
Right, right.
We just happened to be there at that time.
It was perfect timing. Oh my gosh, how fun.
It was one of the most fun moments of my life, those 3 days in
Valencia. And those are the best, because if you'd planned it and been expecting it, and you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it wouldn't have been as magical and amazing.
No. So if you imagine, like, Mardi Gras, 4th of July,
the Rose Parade.
The Rose Parade, plus Christmas, and Thanksgiving for the food.
St. Patrick's Day.
All mixed together. That's what it was. They also, in Valencia, have a tomato festival every year where they go into the streets and have a giant tomato fight.
Oh.
And the whole town is just covered in red tomato sauce. Isn't that fun?
How come we don't do fun things like that here?
Because there's, like, liability and people would want, I got tomato in my eye. They'd want to sue.
I'm going to sue somebody.
Also, who's going to pay for all these tomatoes? You know what I mean? Like, we're so capitalistic.
Americans are dicks.
Anti-fun. Anti-fun. I think the thing there, and you know, New Orleans was Spanish at one point. It had burned down during the French rule, and when the Spanish... No, it was French first. The Spanish took over. It burnt down. They rebuilt the city in their style of architecture. Valencia looks a lot like New Orleans.
Oh.
And the festival that we saw reminded me of Mardi Gras because I've been there, which is another spring festival if you think about it, kind of. Not really.
It's Shrove Tuesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's... It's
religious. It's about Lent.
It's religious. Yeah. Like, let's get all of our jollies on before we have to hunker down and be good.
Which I ended up at Mardi Gras one year on accident also. Because it was earlier than it normally was. I figured it was in February.
Oh.
And I took my niece and my daughter to New Orleans for their 18th. Like, they graduated my high school, my homeschool high school. And that was where they wanted to go.
Oh, wow.
And again, I planned it way in advance, had a hostel, the whole thing, and we ended up in the middle of Mardi Gras.
Wow.
You gotta just go places sometimes, yep. Kimmy.
You just gotta be there.
Yeah.
I wish we had more interesting and fun things here in the United States. It feels like everything is just attached to religious.
Yes.
Celebrations.
Well, except Halloween, but they're taking that away too. Not there. Nobody's taking it away, but it's changing. It's not like it was when we were younger.
Yeah.
But that's not attached to religion, really.
No, it's kind of the opposite.
Right.
It's an old pagan thing, too.
Yeah.
Well, and it's been, it's been commercialized.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other part of it, is that everything gets commercialized, and then that just kind of kills the fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're making paper mache sculptures and not buying them from Walmart.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, everything's attached to, like, who pays for this? Who owns this? Who?
Yeah.
You're going to destroy my property. You're going to. That's too loud.
We have to get advertisers to pay for the. Yeah. It's. Doesn't
boring
have to
fucking
be that
Americans.
Way. We can freaking make up our own freak festival.
We totally can.
Yeah.
What's your favorite flower, do you think?
It changes throughout the year.
Of course.
Like, this year in the depths of winter, I kind of bottomed out for a minute because outside is my happy place and there was nothing to do out there. Like, how many times can you really sweep and rake? Mm-hmm. That's it. There's nothing to do. I was out there feeling sad, and I looked over, and the fringe flower was blooming. And I realized that it's the first flower in our yard to go. And in the winter, but it's, you know, as the sun starts to come back.
Oh.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful plant. You
what
know,
does these, it look like?
These bright fuchsia flowers, and they look like fringe, little tiny thin petals that kind of hang. The leaves are dark green, but as they start to grow, they come in burgundy. So
Ooh.
They're really striking. They're uh-huh. really pretty. And I saw them this year, and it kind of pulled me out of my funk.
Yeah.
But, oh my God, there's so many. I planted a wildflower garden.
I want to see it.
It's, I finally have figured out how to do this after gardening for how many years.
Yeah.
You got to plant it in November.
Oh!
If you want spring flowers, you got to do it in the late fall.
Mm-hmm. Here in California.
Yeah, because yeah. we don't really get frost or anything. And it was, yeah, it was quite an ordeal. I had to clear the space. I had to protect it from the deer because they mow everything down. So I had like bird netting out there and stakes and, you know.
Was this in your front yard on the corner?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I saw the stakes and stuff the last time I came over.
Yeah. So it probably just looked like dirt and weeds.
It did. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I found a finch that had gotten stuck in the bird netting.
Oh, no.
And it was dead. And I was devastated. I was like, oh, my God. I planted this fucking wildflower yard. It's a bird. Blah, blah,
now
blah,
I'm
blah,
a bird killer.
Chloe was outside with me. And I was like, Chloe, look. And she was like, oh, my God, Mom. And I said, I don't know what to do. And she said, well, bury it. And I said, well, I know. But do I take the netting down? Like, I didn't know what to do. And she said, it was really interesting. She had very good advice, and she was very confident about her advice. And she said, Mom, just keep the netting up and just keep an eye on it, you know, be careful. And so I went out and I put all these little bits of foil on it
yeah.
to scare the birds away, and it mm-hmm. worked. So now I've got California poppies and lupins and tidy tips and bluebells and other flowers, I don't even know what they are, and calendula and all kinds of stuff.
Lupins always remind me of you, because you would always, oh. whenever we were driving somewhere, you'd always be like, oh, lupins! Oh, lupins!
I've always loved lupins.
I know you have.
And I've never grown them before, because I haven't planted them at the right time.
Yeah.
Duh.
Dur.
Dur, so now I know.
Well, and it should just come back naturally next year if you let it go to seed.
Yeah.
It should just come back. Like, my poppies are taking over.
Yeah.
There's probably 50 or more poppy plants out there right now.
And they're doing their thing, huh?
Well, just one of them, because one of them came out of the ground in, like, January, February or something. Mm-hmm. All yeah. the little ones are popping up now, so.
It's so interesting. Poppy seeds are interesting because they self-sow in the middle of summer,
mm-hmm.
like when it's just horrible outside,
mm-hmm.
and they just hang out and wait.
Yep.
And wait, wait, and wait, little tiny seeds, and then when they're ready, they go bam.
Right.
Big time.
We have a poppy reserve here in Southern California out in the Antelope Valley. Have you ever been to it?
I haven't.
My friend Kelly and I went once when her son Sid was a baby. She had him in a carrier. He's 13 Aww. Now, so... it's magical when the, but you have to pay attention. There's like a phone number you can call, look on their website to make
yeah.
sure that the poppies are going, because if it doesn't get enough rain in the winter time, then the poppies are sparse, but
right.
it's self-sowing.
Yeah.
It had started originally with one woman who owned the land or something, and it was just a small patch, and it has grown and grown and grown and turned mm-hmm. into a reserve and all that. But if you ever get the chance, it's like magical.
Oh.
You feel like you're like Dorothy in Oz or something, you know? But our poppies are yellow hair, not red.
Oh, no.
No, no.
No, no. No. Not those kind of poppies.
No, no, no.
And they're so cool when the pods...
When the petals fall off and the pods...
The petals fall off and there's this long pod of seeds.
It's like a penis filled with seeds.
It's a long penis, seed penis.
It's a seed penis.
And when it gets hot enough, that's when it pops. Have mm-hmm. you ever seen them just go?
I have.
It's fucking crazy.
You know what else I've done accidentally is collected pods.
Oh, and then they exploded in your
house?
And
they exploded in my house all over my kitchen.
Yeah. So, that happened to me too. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm going to just put these over here.
They literally explode. That's how it propagates.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
They pop.
Fascinating.
I love it.
So now I've got this process of like keeping them in one of those 1 gallon Ziploc bags on its side, but with a napkin in there, like a paper towel, like absorb moisture so that they don't get moldy.
That's smart.
And then they can pop all they want.
Nice.
This year I should build some kind of tent for them, though, like a saran wrap tent or... What about a paper bag? Like a grocery bag.
Yep.
That's the best idea ever. Oh, my God.
That's how... Well, that's the... Yeah, that's a good way to collect all the seeds. I do my milkweed seeds that way. Because they're fucking crazy. The milkweed, when it goes... Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's like snowing. So I pick them off when they're at right before they're
right
about
before,
to go.
Yeah.
And I put them in the bag and leave them outside.
You know, I collect poppy seeds every year and I don't use them. I've got billions of poppy seeds.
Oh.
Literal billions.
You should just start going around to empty lots and stuff.
I should.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Next time you find out when it's going to rain next and right before, just go out.
Just put a hole in my pocket and walk around with seeds in my pocket, dropping them down like that dude from the Shawshank Redemption. Remember? Remember he'd dig a hole in his wall every night and he would take the debris in his pocket.
Oh.
And he would... So they didn't know? So there was nothing showing?
So clever.
It's a great movie. All right, final thoughts about spring.
I love spring.
Yay.
It's my favorite time of year.
Same.
And seeds are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I took seeds to, when we went to Texas to visit my mom's grave, I got a pack of California poppy seeds and a pack of Texas bluebells. And I threw them all over that graveyard. Actually, I threw them all over the field across because I know they mow the graveyard. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I didn't ever know where your mom was buried.
Ra Vista, Texas.
Ra Vista?
Ra Vista Cemetery. Yep.
Okay. My final thought is... I started watching Schitt's Creek again because I miss the characters.
Oh, do you love them more?
I love them more. And I feel guilty for watching it again, like I'm wasting time.
Why?
But I miss them like they're like friends of mine.
That show is like, that's the happy show. Like, I'm so glad I watched that. I'd watch it again.
All right. Happy spring, everybody.
Happy spring. Spring, 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 said the bunny.
Plop, 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 said my foot.
Whoa.
I was going to say poop.
Poop, poop, poop.
Plop, 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 said my poop.
Poop. Locked outside of your door, asleep behind both eyes. I'd love to hear what you had to say.
Curio Podcast is a Porch Swing production. Big thanks to all of our contributors and special guests. For more info, please visit Twitter at Podcast Curio, Curio Podcast on Facebook, and CurioPodcast.org. And remember, Curio Podcast loves you.